Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Packers Podcast. My name is Michael Cohen, and I'm here, as always, with fellow beat reporter Bob McGinn. Our podcast is brought to you by our friends at Cannon and Dunphy, and we appreciate their support. It's 11:47 p.m. Central Time, Thursday evening. We are inside a media room here at Lambeau Field. The first round of the draft ended about a half hour ago, and we're going to break down the pick that wasn't. The Green Bay Packers had the 29th overall pick until they traded it to Cleveland in exchange for number 33, which is the first pick of the second round, and pick number 108, which is the first pick of the fourth round. But before we get into all that, what in the world did you pick for a song this week, Bob? I don't even understand it.
A one-hit wonder out of the country ranks, Mike. Mr. Ray? Ray or Roy? Jeez. Ray. Mr. Ray Kennedy. 1981, went to number 10 on the country charts. What a way to go. He got
a lot of weird lines in there, Bob.
Waylaid by a widow in Wyoming. derailed by a dancer down in Dallas. And hogtied in Ohio. It's a crazy song, isn't it?
It's really weird.
I heard it on the radio about a year ago, and I wrote it down, Mike, for just a good podcast, you know. It's a good podcast hit, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad.
Mike, what percent of our listeners this evening have ever heard that song 37 years ago?
Somewhere between 15 and 20. I don't think it's that obscure.
I'm down to 5%.
Really? Because I feel like, no, I get why you would say that, but I feel like with one-hit wonders, you kind of know those songs because they were a one-hit wonder and they were promoted a little bit differently. I don't know.
It's such a novelty item, too, you know? Yeah. Maybe you're right.
I don't know.
I'll go 10, Mike.
Okay, 10%. Yep. I'll say as high as 20.
Mr. Ray Kennedy, huh? You got to use the Mr. on all these country artists, man. Mr. Ray Price.
I wouldn't know that.
Mr. Merle Haggard. Got to.
All you. Oh, who sang your Amarillo song?
Mr. George Strait.
Yeah, there you go. George Strait. Yep. Okay. Okay, but now let's talk about some football. So the pick that wasn't, like I said, they traded back into the second round, so they'll have two second round selections now. You wrote about this about, what, 10 days ago, a week ago, something like that? At the time, why did you think it was a legitimate possibility?
Well, that was on that need story with that personnel man, and it's all credit to him. He saw this coming. I didn't. That was new to me, and he said he thought somebody would trade up late in the first round for a QB to get the fifth year on the contract, and that the Packers were a prime candidate, and they should do it. And sure enough, it wasn't for a QB, but for the tight end Njoku, but that's what happened.
So the trade was made, and after the first round concluded, Ted Thompson came down and spoke to the media. You were busy writing on Deadline, so I was down there to listen to that. And basically, here's a summary of what Ted had to say. Actually, I can read it to you. I've got the transcript right here. So Ted came down, and this was his opening statement. As kind of a wrap-up, we felt like today went pretty good. Some things felt... hold on, I'm sorry, I messed that one up. Here we go. Sorry, he said, some things feel what we felt like was advantageous to us, especially for the next couple days, and we didn't actually have to give up a whole lot to get a couple breaks. That's kind of where we are. Like I said, we feel good about where we are, but we didn't draft anybody, so we'll see about that tomorrow. We have something that's kind of unusual. We have the first pick tomorrow, and I think the first pick on Saturday. So he'll see from there, he said, basically. But his stance, and he said it a couple times in a press conference that lasted about 10 minutes, they thought that the way the board played out was almost exactly what they were hoping for. It was deep. There's a lot of guys left, a lot of talented guys. So they traded back to, as he said, get a little bit more meat on the bone when it comes to shoring up the roster. They wanted additional picks to get more players to fill roster spots. So, I don't know. I guess your thoughts on what they got for 29.
Well, I think it worked out okay because they have a cornerback. Do they need the number one cornerback? Absolutely, positively. Kevin King of Washington still sitting there. And they have either the second or third best running back in the draft, Dalvin Cook. So if they stay at 33, they have two excellent players. Now, by going down four slots, they lost Reuben Foster in the Journal Sentinel, our pre-draft poll of personnel people. He came out as the number one inside backer.
Your pre-draft poll. You get all the credit for that, not me.
And he slid because of injury and off-field concerns. They also lost on T.J. Watt, a player that Ted Thompson is said by his peers in the scouting profession to have had a tremendous affection for. Love this guy as a player. So he lost Watt at 30 to Pittsburgh. And then Ramczyk, they weren't going to take a tackle anywhere. Anyway, they weren't going to take Njoku, the tight end. So they're sitting there with Cook and King, and they got an extra four. When you look at it, I think it's a pretty good deal.
You got a name here next to Cook that I think is pretty interesting. Mixon. Would they dare do that at the beginning of the second round?
Well, as our buddy John Dodd, our longtime the brains of the operation, John said he went back to 1968 and quoted a slogan, Mixon's the one. That was Tricky Dick Nixon's slogan, Nixon's the one. Maybe that was 72, I don't know. Mixon to Green Bay here? I do not see that happening, Mike.
If they had a choice between Cook and Mixon, who do you think they have higher on their board in terms of talent?
Cook. I really hope this franchise doesn't stoop to the level of taking Joe Mixon.
Okay. Now, let's throw a little bit of a monkey wrench into it. And that was Ted, surprisingly, being a little bit transparent and said that they are openly shopping this pick. He was asked why it was important for them, or if it was important, to get the very first pick in the second round as opposed to another one. And this was his response. I think it's very good strategy-wise. We know where we're at and what we're going to do. There's a couple of different ways of looking at it in terms of the pick being helpful to us. It could be that we highlight a player that we know we can get and they can't take him away from us, so we sit there and pick him. It could be that a team sees an opportunity to maybe trade up and get a player they didn't think they could get, and maybe it's, again, a trade that works well for us. There's a couple different ways to look at it.
All right, let me say this, Mike. You look at San Francisco, they got the 34th pick and 36 from the Bears. The Packs at 33, right? The Niners need a QB. They could like Deshaun Kizer. They could like Davis Webb.
They could, but Green Bay is not going to take a quarterback.
Oh, I see what you mean.
So yeah, they could have 34, a free shot at it.
So somebody else who wants that could, because they figure, San Francisco. You're right. I wasn't thinking.
This one is interesting to me.
The Jets.
They pick 39th overall, 7th in the second round. They seem like a team that needs a quarterback and could potentially be interested in moving up.
Yeah, good point. So these people have all night and all morning and all afternoon to study the board, get on the horn with Ted. They could get a king's ransom for this pick. But they don't want to get too cute because they need a number one corner, Mike. You can't line up without another number one cornerback in 2017. And you don't want to get too cute because Kevin King, maybe Quincy Wilson after that. But after that, I don't think Sidney Jones is going to be ready to play this year, at least not for most of it. And after that, you're not talking about number one guys on paper.
And other than 33, their only pick in the round is 61. So that'd be the 29th selection. So if they were to move back, they'd have to, like you said, it'd have to be a subtle a move back, I think.
Boy, at 61, Mike. King's gone, Wilson's gone, Morrow's gone. Tabor might even be gone. I don't like Tankersley, but I'll bet he's gone. Even Jordan Lewis with his off-field stuff, he might be gone. There's six, seven. I mean, these aren't number one people.
Now, here's my question. This was posited by somebody that blogs about the Packers, and he wrote this story like a month ago that said, what if the Packers don't actually think cornerback is that significant of a need? What if they think Demarius Randle is going to be fine or Rollins was just hurt and they don't actually view it as that big of a need? Maybe they think it's only worth a third-round guy or a fourth-round guy. Do you think there's any possibility of that?
None.
So you really think that they believe it's a true deficiency?
I've talked to enough personnel people around the league that it's a deficiency, and they know better than anyone that it's a huge deficiency, period. They're not stupid here.
So why wouldn't they just take somebody today?
I don't know. They thought King, you know. Maybe they like Tre'Davious White, and he went at 27, you know. And maybe they looked at these teams, and maybe they just figured, well, they didn't. Okay, Cleveland, maybe they figured they wouldn't take a corner. Pittsburgh, The guy from Miami, Artie Burns, last year. San Francisco, I think they're hurting at corner, but they're hurting everywhere. And New Orleans, they're hurting at corner, too. So they were kind of running the rapids.
Adoree Jackson was a guy you wrote about. Were you surprised he got all the way up to 18?
No.
Another corner?
No, I thought that was a good spot for him.
Okay.
We could discuss Gary and Conley now.
Sure.
Yeah. I talked to another guy today, Mike. You know, he has not been charged. He's been accused of the sexual assault at a Cleveland hotel at midweek. Three people told me, two of them decision makers, that they thought he would go in the first round. One thought second, one thought outside the top 100. And one guy went off into quite a discussion about what happened in 2015 with the guard tackle from LSU, Lyle Collins, and how the whole league learned a lesson there. You know, he had been, I don't know, not named in a murder investigation, but he was a witness. I don't know.
I don't know the details.
Yeah, okay. But everybody can look that up. But he wasn't drafted, went to the Cowboys. He's a key member of their line now. And they all kind of learned a lesson. And he said, I don't think teams are going to do that this time. And they didn't. And the Raiders took Conley, and they got a heck of a player.
4 hours ago, right near the beginning of the draft, there was a tweet from Ian Rappaport that said, according to a source, one of the teams that was interested in taking Conley in the first round asked him to submit to a polygraph test. He did it, and he passed.
Huh.
I don't know which team it was, and Rappaport didn't say. But, I mean, come on. We're talking about polygraph tests in the context of the National Football League and the draft. What have we gotten into, Bob?
This guy also told me, he says, you know, after this Conley stuff broke, yeah, you're doing as much work as you can. But he said everybody who's got a cornerback interest is on the phone with Urban Meyer. And he is a pretty honest guy, this scout said. And he mentioned Les Miles when he was at LSU. You couldn't get any information or straightforward talk out of Les Miles, but Urban Meyer is pretty good. And he said, he was just saying, Mike, he said, if Urban said that, you know, we have security people and we think it's all right, then you do it. But if Urban says, well, hey, I don't know, then the guy says, that's when I'd bail. A lot on the line here in these things, Mike.
So let's take a look at, you have your board over here, right?
I love that board. Everybody's talking about a board, aren't they? It's not a list, Mike. It's a board.
You've got
man.
Your yellow legal pad over here, Bob. Let's say that, you know, let's just for argument's sake say that they don't go with a corner right away. Who's left at edge rusher?
Well, I just see Cooker King if they exercise the pick.
Okay.
Lamps, the guard, I mean, from Western Kentucky, he would solve that void at right guard. Quincy Wilson, he's not as good as King. He's not as fast as King, but he's a solid press corner. You know, he's a top 35, 40 pick. Those are the four I got. Now, edge rusher, I just don't see that, Mike. But you got McKinney, you know, who had the surgery on his shoulder.
No, he's gone.
McKinney's gone, huh?
McKinley's gone, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Man, I didn't cross that out. Okay, so you got Tyus Bowser.
He went to Atlanta.
Jeez, I missed it. Okay. Tyus Bowser from Houston. Flew off the edge at the Senior Bowl practices. Looked good. Former basketball player. He's not a first-round pick, but he could fall in here.
Okay.
Ryan Anderson, I don't see him as a 3-4 guy. And he's a 3-4 guy, but I don't see him in the first half of the second round in terms of how good he is. And then that's it.
Is there I was looking through your rankings today of different guys at different positions. The kid from Alabama that was just a rusher, Tim Williams.
Yeah.
Is he – I mean, he's too small to be a 4-3 end, isn't he? So is there any chance that a team would look at him as a rush specialist again but in a 3-4?
Yeah, he's a DPR, Mike, designated pass rusher. He can't really play a position in either scheme.
Okay.
From scrimmage, I mean, he's too weak. He's undisciplined against the run. He's not strong. But as a pass rusher, some say he could be even better than Myles Garrett. Does that appeal to Green Bay? I don't know.
They look for those big, stout guys that can hold up against the run, and that would not be one of them. So one of the edge rushers that, you know, pretty much everybody in Wisconsin was thinking the Packers might take was, of course, T.J. Watt, as you mentioned. Watt goes to the Steelers, another 3-4 team. What What do you think of this kid? I mean, do you think that this is a pick? You know, our colleague Tom Silverstein tweeted that a few years from now, could this be another Troy Vincent moment for Ted Thompson instead of taking, what was it, Buckley that he took instead of Vincent?
Yeah.
Tom wondered if that would be another one of these.
Although Wolf later said he really wanted to tackle Bob Whitfield, who went to Atlanta and made several Pro Bowls. But, yeah, I mean, I like Watt. I remember I was listening to the Michigan-Wisconsin game during the bye week, Mike, and I was driving with friends up in the UP on a color trip kind of. I was listening to the Michigan Network, and Dan Dierdorf was a color man, and he must have talked about Watt 10 times in that game. I mean, this is, you know, a home announcer talking about a visiting player and just how he was dominant. And I thought, whoa, because Dierdorf really knows what he's doing. So, I mean, I like Watt. He could have gone anywhere from 25 to 45 or 50, you know. He's got to be extremely ecstatic to get in that first round. He's going to a team that knows how to use 3-4 backers. You know, I mean, that's the premier spot in Pittsburgh. James Harrison is, you know, over the hill. They've had problems filling those slots. They had a bad pick with that guy from Georgia a couple years ago. So anyway, you know, I talked to probably 15 people about Watt, and I think it was 11 or 13, I don't know, but the vast majority, 75%, did not think he was a legit first-round pick. And one guy who loved him, he said, quote, AFC guy, "I'm a big Watt guy. He's just really a really good football player. Not that he's devoid of physical talent. He has enough athletic traits. He's strong and he's smart, knows what to do. It's kind of remarkable in that he's really only played 1 year of outside backer. Looks like he's been playing there his whole life. I think he could play Mike in a 3-4, inside in a 3-4. He thinks he has that kind of ability. He said, I love the way the guy plays. He's not as genetically gifted as that one," meaning JJ, "but as far as making the most of what he does have, yeah." And then the other side of the coin was a guy who was talking about whether Thompson could take him at 29. He said, "There's no blanking way if you watch the film. I think Vince Beagle is better than him. There's no way Ted would do that. If he does that, then he's lost his mind. He's not athletic. He runs 4.7. He's not special. I'm just telling you. He's not as good as Ryan Kerrigan. I'd say Trent Murphy is a good comparison. He should have stayed in school because he needs to get bigger and stronger." So the 4-3 people did not think he was big and strong enough to play end, play down, okay? Everybody thought he was, you know, is what he was, a 3-4 outside backer. I don't know. I kind of believe in the guy and think he's going to have a good career.
I do too. Yep. You know, I think he's going to be a good player. Now, does that mean Ted Thompson will rue the day he did not draft T.J. Watt? I don't know about that.
Yep, we'll see.
We'll see.
Yep.
Let's see. Now let's talk about the first round in general. So, you know, the action got started early. There were trades, and more trades. You've got the list here in front of you. Just sort of looking at it, what jumps out to you, or what seems to catch your attention right away?
Well, you know, it was obviously a much stronger defensive draft, but boy, people jumped on that. What offense there was? 8 of the first 12 go to offense. 6 in a row. Then on D, total 13-0 and 19 on D. Of the last 20, only 5 offensive players. So these wide receivers, Mike, the day before I had to do that mock, I did not have Mike Williams and Corey Davis in there. I didn't believe in them. I never got any scouts who liked any of the wideouts, really. And then you got Davis going 5 and Williams going 7. You know how bad I would have looked? I think I threw him in way at the end. I just threw him in like 27 and 31 or something. I don't know. So I was way off there, way off on a lot of things. All right, let's talk about – so Jimmy Haslam, that the Cleveland owner, came to his senses and backed off there, and they took the player they should have taken, Myles Garrett. The Bears, huh? They had not drafted a QB, I don't think, in the first since Rex Grossman in like 03. Cade McNown before that in that great quarterback draft of 99. Well, it didn't turn out that great, and he certainly didn't either. So, you know, it makes some sense. I mean, this is smart. Trubisky doesn't have to play this year. He doesn't have to play the next year if Glennon comes through and plays well and they can become a solid team. That's what you want to do. You know, they paid Glennon. They need him to start, and they need Trubisky to learn. The guy's a one-year wonder. He's not ready to play. And, you know, fortunately for him, if Glennon stays healthy, he doesn't have to play. That's what you want. That's what helped make Aaron Rodgers. He wasn't ready to play for those first 2 years. He was terrible those first two summers.
Is Trubisky, based on people you've talked to, do they believe that he can be a good starter? Or is this another guy that is just going because quarterbacks go?
So they talk about ceilings, Mike, you know, and it's all speculation. They've only seen the guy for 1 year. But, you know, I've heard this a couple times, that if he becomes a good player, his ceiling is 10 to 20 among NFL QBs. He's only 6'2". He's got a pretty good arm. He's a pretty good decision maker, they think. I mean, just there's not enough film to really know all these things yet. It's just too, you know, uncertain. But, you know, he had a slight margin over the other two top guys as the best quarterback in the draft in the Journal Sentinel polling. So, I don't know. Boy, Solomon Thomas would have been a terrific. With him, Akeem Hicks, and Eddie Goldman, they would have had one heck of a front three in that 3-4 of Vic Fangio.
Now, anybody on that page jump out to you as somebody you'd...
Let me say one more thing.
Go ahead.
Our buddy, Mr. Brad Biggs, he had that. He was all over that one. Some people thought that the Bears would not draft a QB. Old Bradley, our bud, was all over it. Nice job, Brad.
Who's Brad, for those who don't know?
Chicago Tribune beat writer for many years, one of the best in the business.
Now, is there anything, or is there anybody, I should say, on this list that you did not think was a first-round pick and somehow snuck their way in?
Let me look, Mike. Well, I got egg on my face on Derek Barnett. He goes 14, and I don't have him in the first.
Okay. He's the first edge rusher to be taken. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
That's pretty embarrassing, Mike.
Second edge rusher, right? Because Thomas is an interior guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, Thomas is both, Mike.
Okay.
Yeah. I had Barnett at Detroit at 21 until yesterday afternoon, mid-afternoon, and then I just couldn't get him. And then I wanted to get the two wide receivers, and I threw them in, and then he would have been my – he and Malik McDowell were the two guys that I felt worst about leaving him off the first. Okay, I blew it. Embarrassing. What else, Mike? I question Taco Charlton.
How dare you? How dare you question somebody from Michigan?
He's a one-year guy, Mike. I know he really improved. I saw almost all his games on tape this year. He really improved this year, but I just don't know. To rush the passer in Dallas out of that 4-3, I got to see it to believe it. There was one more. Okay, Evan Engram to the Giants. You want to discuss that pick at 23?
Sure. My previous job when I was in Memphis at the Commercial Appeal, I did a little SEC football, and Ole Miss, which is where Engram went to school, is about, I don't know, what is it, 60 or 70 miles down the road from Memphis. So they were pretty good when I was there. And that was the year where Ole Miss and Mississippi State were 1-2 for a little while. And I saw Engram play probably, I don't know, maybe 3-4 times, and wow. Then I went to spring football and I saw him once or twice. I think he's really good. Now, the Giants obviously needed a tight end. There was no doubt about that. He's not really a tight end. He's a big wide receiver. He's not going to give you any of the inline stuff, or at least it won't be effective. So I think it was a good pick for them in terms of what they need. But I don't think I would have any quarrel with anyone that said that Engram went 5 to 7 picks too high.
Yeah, right. They had Will Tye, another seam guy who played pretty well. That's a nice combination now.
And they still have Larry Donnell, I think, even though he's hurt all the time.
Yeah. So Beckham and Engram will be there. Who's their other wideout?
Brandon Marshall and Sterling Shepard.
They got Marshall now?
Yeah.
Wow. They got weapons for Eli, but they don't have a right tackle. I don't
think
Bobby Hart's the answer.
Either.
No, Eric Flowers is shaky.
All right, now let me point out one or two things that jump out to me.
Yep.
The drop from Reuben Foster, did any scouts indicate that they thought he could drop that far given his talent?
Yes, I didn't buy it.
Because here's my thing. You look at Conley, right? He could be totally innocent, but he's wrapped up in something that, to me, is exponentially more serious than admitting to a failed drug test and getting in an argument with some woman at the combine. Isn't a rape accusation much more serious, and yet Conley goes, what, 6-7 picks higher?
It's an accusation, Mike.
I know. Trust me, it could be totally false. But as they said, you know, they had the NFL Network playing downstairs, and let's say it's not false. this kid could never play in the NFL.
I talked to a GM who did a lot of work on this. I just don't know what to tell you other than what he said, and he did not think it was going to amount to much.
Now, the guy who made the pick, McKenzie, what's his personality like? Is he a risky guy? Is he more conservative? What do you remember about him?
I can't really say because he wasn't in a position of power, you know?
Fair enough.
Let's go back to Foster, you know?
Okay.
9 test score, Mike. That's a problem at inside backer. Now, he was in Saban's system for a lot of years, and as one scout said, he was able to regurgitate that. But then another guy, there's a lot of questions about his ability to, you know, run a defense, make quick adjustments. So that's there. You got the drug test. You got 2 shoulder problems, stinger problems.
Yeah.
You know, linebackers are a little nuts anyway, Mike. And this guy is a brutal hitter. I didn't see him going to 31. I had him at number 9 to Cincinnati. Jeez, I never thought he'd get past 20. And so Green Bay passed on him. The best inside backer in the draft, I think, as a player.
Okay.
So that'll have to be monitored over the years.
Did you get any indication of whether he was on or off the Packers board based on his off-field problems?
No idea.
Okay. Now, we looked at the Bears briefly. Let's take a look at the Lions. 21. What do you think of their pick, and who was it?
Jared Davis, inside backer, Florida. They took him over Foster. So Tahir Whitehead, who played good football, he can move to Will. DeAndre Levy's out of there. His career dead-ended by injury. They needed a backer. Boy, a lot of people like Davis, Mike. Really like him. Tremendous kid. Big hitter. Average plus speed. Maybe good speed. A little tight in the hips for playing 100% of the downs. Man coverage, zone drop. Aaron Rodgers will be matching wits with Jared Davis for many years. Davis is not great in coverage. I mean, he's a heck of a lot better than Steven Tulloch was, you know, there in the past. But Davis is going to help that defense. He's going to be a heart and soul guy, play every snap. He's really going to help him.
Now, let's see. One other thing you wanted to talk about. Let's discuss what Mr. Dorsey did.
Yeah, boy, what a big jump, huh, Mike, from 27 to 10. So, obviously, he totally believed in Patrick Mahomes. So did Andy Reid. Andy Reid is a tremendous quarterback coach. Everybody, I mean, I've dealt with him for 7 years, and people who have worked with him, they think this guy is terrific. Look what he's done with Alex Smith. I mean, he's gotten
the most out of him, squeezed
everything out of that turnip. And now Mahomes has come in. Mahomes does not have to play. Again, he's in a really good spot. He's not ready to play. He's got to get into a pro system, operate under center. But apparently Dorsey and Reed believed in this guy that maybe he can be Brett Favre. He'll be his own man, but that's the way he plays like. There's even some shades of John Elway rolling to his left, throwing back across the field 70, 80 yards. I mean, there's crazy long ball potential here. I don't know. Of all the 3 quarterbacks, Mahomes intrigued me the most, and it's a big move by Dorsey, you know?
So why go all the way to 10? Who were they trying to get past? Do you think it was New Orleans looking for whoever's going to take over for Breeze, or do you think it was trying to get in front of Houston?
Yeah, I think they're worried about Houston trading up, and they eventually went up to 12 for Watson, so Dorsey apparently was dead right in that guess. And then Arizona, Bruce Arians maybe doing something at 13, huh?
Okay.
I don't see New Orleans doing that. No. So, boy, it's a big jump, Mike. They gave up the 27th pick, a third-round pick, and a first next year. So Dorsey's figuring that'll be in the mid-20s.
Right.
They should have another good year to move up 17 slots in the first round. That'll determine the fate of the direction of that franchise for years to come.
Maybe even him as a GM.
Correct. And, you know, I mean, I've written that if Ted does not return after his contract expires after this next draft, then Dorsey's contract, to my knowledge now, unless something's been done, that will be expiring in Kansas City. And if he doesn't sign an extension, he'd be a free agent. And I think that's a guy that could very well end up in Green Bay next year.
Anything else that jumps out to you on this first round draft here?
I just can't believe these receivers, Mike. 5, 7, and 9. They're not that good. Nobody thought anything elite up there, and then they all just go, you know? I don't get that. Boy, Jonathan Allen, another beat-up Alabama guy. He slipped to 17 with the shoulders, and he's a heck of a player. You know, he's a little undersized, but good player. I mean, he's gonna help the interior of that Washington defense. O.J. Howard all the way to 19. Man, what a tight end Tampa Bay and who's the quarterback?
Winston.
It's getting late now, Mike. Yeah. All right.
What position do you think Peppers ends up playing?
He's going to the Browns. Maybe he plays both ways.
Quarterback?
Three ways. Four ways. Wildcat QB2. Return all their kicks. Roam the secondary.
He can probably throw passes as well as Cody Kessler.
Who else did the Browns get tonight?
Miles Garrett.
Yeah.
And,
Oh, yeah, down here. Tight end, Joku.
Yeah.
Okay. Mike, what about anybody else?
Not really. Well, okay, I got one.
Who didn't go? Oh, you go ahead.
Were you surprised that Bowles was the first tackle taken?
No. I made a mistake. I mean, Bowles and Ramczyk are better than Cam Robinson. But I just thought Baltimore, I heard some things there. I knew something. And they need the right tackle to replace Ricky Wagner. And Cam Robinson is the best right tackle, the big, pure power guy. After he didn't go there, he didn't go anywhere. Let's look at who wasn't taken, okay, Mike?
Yeah, and then while we're looking at this, let's talk about guys that might be available in the third round.
Let's go quick about who wasn't taken, and then we'll come back. All right, wide receivers, there's nothing of interest.
Okay.
Tight end, there's nothing of interest. Cam Robinson does not go. I like Deion Dawkins as a guard. He would have some appeal to Green Bay.
Is that the kid from Pittsburgh?
Temple.
Temple, I'm sorry.
He's a pretty good player, Mike. Forrest Lamp did not go. Wow.
Is he a first-round talent?
By default, really, yeah. He's going to go in the first five picks. He could go to Green Bay.
Where does he project?
He's a short tackle. He's a guard or a center for most teams.
Okay.
All right. QBs, I mean, I don't like Kaiser and Webb, so... Okay. Dalvin Cook, of course, didn't go. I didn't scratch McCaffrey. Okay, the rest of the backs.
What do you think of Kamara? That's a name that a lot of fans on Twitter have thrown around as they're being interested in him.
He's not a heavy-duty back.
Nope, never has been. He's never been tested, we should say, right? He's never been in an opportunity where he's gotten the ball 20 times a game, at least to my knowledge.
Yeah, they just don't think he can.
Okay.
That was the consensus. All right. D-line, Malik McDowell did not go. One guy said he was the second-best D-lineman after Garrett.
Okay.
At least he was in 2015. 2016, he played like a dog.
I did a story that, you know, many of you guys will see online or in the paper tomorrow about players that could be available, you know, in the second and third round. What do you think of this guy whose name I can't pronounce from Villanova? And the reason, and I'll tell you why I threw him out there. And I know you and I have discussed this. In losing Dayton Jones and Peppers, you lose outside backers. This guy's not necessarily an outside backer, but you also lose two of your guys that can put a hand down and rush inside on second and third down. And I wondered, you know, Peppers is – in your position preview last year, you had Peppers at 6'6", 287. And this guy, whose name I can't pronounce, is 6'7", 286. So if they wanted to try him as a big outside backer and put him inside and sub – He matches up size-wise. And your quote from the scout compared him to Peppers.
I don't see him as a backer, Mike.
Okay.
I think he's a, you know, he's a big guy. I just see him.
A 4-3 DN?
Yes.
Okay.
Or a 5 technique, too, and a 3-4. He's smart, long arms, huge hands. He's not ready. He's out of Villanova. That's where Howie Long played, Mike.
Is it?
Yeah. He's going to go in the second round. Let's go back to Jordan Willis from K-State. He would stand up for the Packers. I heard they didn't like him. I believe that to be true.
Well, he ran well, though.
He sure did. A slow blinker, but 39 vert, pretty impressive.
Okay.
Terrell Basham, too. I think that's a guy of interest to Green Bay. But let's keep going. All right, inside, Dalvin Tomlinson, another beat-up Alabama guy. A tough nose tackle. Chris Wormley from Michigan, another versatile D lineman. They didn't go. Brantley from Florida. I'm sure glad I kept him out of the top 100. Today I heard things that he might not even get drafted. It could be a seventh-round pick for this guy.
Off-field
after his
stuff?
Domestic
yeah.
stuff about 3 weeks ago. Bar fight involving a woman, and teams do not like the looks of that one, whereas they thought the looks of the Conley thing was okay. The looks of the Brantley thing is not okay. I had Zach Cunningham in the first round. It was a mistake on my part. I thought he fit the Raiders. That was a mistake. Cunningham's a modern linebacker. He runs. He doesn't really hit.
I put McMillan on my list of guys that they might be interested as an inside backer.
You're dead right. Dead right. Okay. McKinley's gone. Okay. We talked about the OLBs. Let's go to corner. Sidney Jones, I think he's going to go in the second, Mike, late second.
Okay.
He's coming off a torn Achilles. All right, we talked about King.
He was the one who tore it at, like, his pro day, right?
Yeah. Got it. He was not operating well at that pro day either, so it was a horrible day for him. A lot of scouts love this guy, but then others think, how did he finish so high in your polls, Bob? They just couldn't believe that. Quincy Wilson, good player. Tankersley, I said that I don't like him. That's the corners who didn't go. Now the safeties. What a group of safeties. I mean, the guy from UConn did not go, Mike.
Obi Melifonwu.
You know about him.
Yeah, heck of an athlete. Okay, now one thing I wanted to ask you, and I think I remember reading it in your series, but I can't quite recall. People were split on where to play him. Did guys legitimately think that some teams will try him at corner?
No. One guy thought about experimenting. Two people talked about it out of about 12, but no, that wasn't that big of an item, no.
Okay.
Buda Baker.
Yeah.
Marcus Williams. What a great year at safety. I swear. Marcus May, Josh Jones, Awuzie, the combination tweener guy. These are all players could have gone late one. They're all going to go in the two, I think.
Is Baker legitimately a safety at the next level?
No.
He's going to play nickel.
He can cover in the slot.
Yeah.
Kind of like Leroy Butler once did in his early in his Packer career. He's a little small to play safety because he's a box guy. He's not a Earl Thomas free, you know.
Do you think that they'll look at a safety with Burnett going into the last year of his contract?
No.
Okay.
Do you?
I don't know about the second or third round, but it wouldn't surprise me if they drafted one.
Later, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they draft three corners now. Could happen, Mike.
Yeah. What do you remember? This you might not remember this. It's kind of an obscure question, but do you remember any years and what position it was where they took the most of one position in one draft?
Yeah. That
like, did they ever take five wideouts or something crazy like that?
They took in 99.
I got the media
Antoine
guy.
Antoine Edwards, Fred Vinson, and Mike McKenzie. And Antoine, on his license plate, he had truth, the truth on his license plate. Well, he had turf toe or something like that. He had to have surgery. It was not a good draft by Ron Wolf. He had surgery after they drafted him, played some safety, played some corner, wasn't good enough. He was not the truth. Fred Vinson, who had tremendous talent, but he didn't really want to play the game. That was his problem. He didn't have motivation, and then he got hurt. And his career, Wolf made the swindle of a lifetime of a career by trading him to Mike Holmgren for Amon Green. And then Mike McKenzie became an outstanding starter here before he got disenchanted with Mike McKenzie and forced his, Mike Sherman and forced his way out of town.
And they also took a safety.
That year?
Chris Atkins.
Wow. Akins.
Akins, sorry. From Arkansas Pine Bluff.
He became a bad boy.
Did he?
Yeah, he talked his way out of town, too.
Okay.
Yep.
Any other drafts you can think of where they took three of the same guy?
I don't think so. I don't. Offensive line maybe somewhere? No. Open a draft with three guys? I don't think that ever happened.
Okay.
God, I don't know. What was the first one I covered? Probably 79.
How many defensive players do you think they could take tomorrow?
Out of three picks?
Yeah.
Three.
Do you think they'll do it?
Yes.
I do, too. Then I think they'll take four more. All defense. Anything else you want to talk about from this first round? We're running out of time here. It's late. I want to go to sleep.
We're kind of chattering now with not making much sense, Mike.
It's 12:30.
We got to keep it light, huh, Mike? Everybody takes this stuff pretty seriously, these draft gurus, don't they?
Yeah. We got two questions from fans.
All right,
they're
let's
not
go.
Bad. When's the last time the Packers had the first pick in a day on a draft? I have no idea.
No idea, Mike.
It would have had to be by trade because they haven't had a number one in a long time.
No.
Have they ever picked number one? Like in recent modern times?
Number one pick in the draft. Late 50s, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Mandrich, Tony Mandrich was a number two after Aikman. That's about it.
Second question. We sort of discussed it, but at some point tomorrow, if he's still there, would Mixon be a viable choice for them? Do you think they would ever do it?
I hope not, that this organization would not stoop to that level to take somebody who slugged a woman.
I don't think they'll do it.
That's my stance. I'm not backing off. That's just the way I see it. You just should not have that kind of player on your team.
I'm with you.
All right.
All right. I think we're done here.
So, day one, Mike. No bodies. Nobody here.
Exhilarating.
Maybe it'll turn out like Jordy Nelson, that draft in 2008.
Maybe it won't.
Correct. Mr. Thompson has to do the job for the D tomorrow.
But first, your country star needs to do the job on the way out. What do we got here, Bob?
Well, we got Mr. Ray Kennedy, huh? You got Shanghai'd in Vegas, Mike. Let's listen to him, okay? Thank you.
All right, see you guys later.